I want to talk to you this morning about, I've titled the message this morning as Him You Shall Hallow. Everybody say with me, Him You Shall Hallow. Are we going to go into what it means and where are we going with this? But let me ask you a question really quickly. I'm sure you're very intelligent people. Yesterday was Christmas Day, 25th, is that right? Today is the 26th, and what day is it today? Pardon me? Say louder. Boxing Day. So yesterday was Christmas Day, and some of you are saying today is Boxing Day. Well, let me disappoint you. All right, it is the Boxing Day as far as what's happening around the world, but as far as we're concerned, and the reason that you and I are here is not because it's Boxing Day, is it? Is it because it's Boxing Day that we're here today? No, because it is the day that we set aside for the Lord, to come to the house of the Lord and worship. So I like that Uncle Lee was like the first response. I think I heard him. I don't know if anyone else said it, but what day is it today? Today is Sunday, the first day of the week, the day on which Jesus resurrected from the dead. And so we set aside just one day. I mean, it's not just only Sunday. We're to give our whole life, our whole time to Him. But we take one day of the week to come to the house of the Lord together, corporately at least, and to worship Him together. That's the reason why we're here. Can you say amen? So not Boxing Day, because this is Boxing Day. I'm sure at home we start boxing one another, husbands and wife and children and siblings, okay? But today is the day of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Can you say amen? So with that thought in mind, all right, we could be shopping right now, couldn't we? We could. You could be at the beach too right now if you wanted to be, all right? But the reason we're here is because it's the Lord's Day. So let me go back to the title of the message, Him You Shall Hallow. You know, this is the last Sunday of the year. And so how should we finish this final Sunday? And this is how I want to talk to you about it. As I talk about this towards the end, it hopefully makes way for the new year as well, right? But that will be only at the end. Let me begin by reading Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13 to 14. All right, so it should be on the screen there. Him you shall hallow. All right, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. The Lord of hosts, Him you shall hallow. Let Him be your fear and let Him be your dread. He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now, you'll notice that the title of the message is found right there in that verse, so you can understand what I'm going to talk about. The Lord of hosts, Him you shall hallow. It should already ring a bell when we talk about the prayer that Jesus taught to His disciples. We'll get into that in a moment. It says, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. So what do we mean by that? We'll get to that. And so here are the three points that I want to share with you this morning. Okay, I'm just going to say it first. Number one, hallow the Lord. Number two, fear the Lord. Number three, obey the Lord. Let me get into the first one. Hallow the Lord. What do we mean? I'm going to read the King James Version, all right? The King James Version of that verse 13, it says this, Sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself, and let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread. Now, notice that previously in the New King James Version, we read, you shall hallow, Him you shall hallow, but here in the King James, it uses the word, sanctify the Lord of hosts. So to hallow has to do with to sanctify. And if you remember a number of weeks back, we talked about what sanctification means. Remember when we talked about the power of the blood, or is that too long ago? Too long ago. All right. It's okay. I forgive you because it's one day after Christmas. Okay. All right. Sanctification is the word from which we get, you know, it's the same idea of holiness. Holiness and sanctification really speak of the same word. And in Hebrew, they share the same root word. It's the word, as we sing, it's the Hebrew word kadosh. Remember that word kadosh? Oftentimes we sing songs to say that God is holy. And so to sanctify is from that root word kadash, where we get holy, holiness, and all of that. It simply means this. To sanctify means something is separated from for God's purpose. Remember that? To sanctify, or for something to be holy, it means something is separated for the Lord or unto the Lord for God's purpose. In other words, when we say that we are sanctified, it means we are separated from the world and we are joined to the Lord for the Lord. That is holiness. So it speaks of separation unto the Lord, for the Lord. So here we read in this verse, sanctify the Lord of hosts, or him you shall hallow, meaning him, he is holy. He is holy. Him you shall hallow, him you shall sanctify. So do you get the idea here? Now we know that God is holy. What are we saying here this morning? What I'm actually saying is that to hallow the Lord, to sanctify the Lord, is the fact that he is holy. Everybody say with me, he's holy. In other words, if God is holy, it is not to be treated as a common thing. So when something is sanctified, or if something is holy, it was sacred. Say with me, sacred. For example, if you had the temple, imagine the Old Testament temple. They had all different kinds of furnitures. All right, all different kinds of furnitures that was used to offer sacrifices, incense, and the different aspects of sacrifices they did to God. But these things were physical things that were made by human hands, but they were sanctified, meaning they were separated from. So if you can imagine this, just imagine this table. If this table was used in the temple, it was separated from every other tables for the Lord's use. That will be sanctified, and that will be a holy thing. Because the fact it's been separated from the rest, because they're not that table, there's many of them on this campus, all right? But that one is separated from all the other ones. It is no longer common. It's been sanctified for the Lord. Can you understand this concept first? So in other words, what do we mean sanctify the Lord? Hallow the Lord. He is the fact that he is not like anyone else. He's not just another one of many gods. I think we can all at least agree on that one, okay? But the thing is, the point is the fact that the way we treat the Lord, do we hallow him? Do we sanctify him? In other words, do I treat God like I treat everything else? Think of that for a moment. Can you really grasp what I'm saying? And I'm sharing this. I felt really convicted in the last week about, you know, how many times we just treat Sunday service or all the things of the Spirit just as casual as we would treat anything else that we do in life. We treat it commonly. Look at this picture that I have here on the screen, and that will speak, hopefully, volume of what I'm trying to convey. All right? Okay, here you have, I'm trying to use, it could be on a Sunday, it could be on a Wednesday, it could be anywhere, but when you're giving time to the Lord, what's actually going in people's mind? Can we zoom in on that, please? What are we actually thinking about? Are we, you know, we could be here, but the mind is running somewhere else. I don't know, I've got Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, even I don't really use any of these, but except for YouTube, I guess. All right. Anyway, but you see what I'm saying here? Because when we start doing that, we are treating God just like anything else. You're shopping, you're on your phone. You're on your bed, you're on your phone. You're in church, we're on the phone. We're treating God just the same way. But when we come before the Lord, he's holy. We cannot treat him the same way we would treat another meaning. Does that make sense? He is holy. It's not the same. I got to give him the due honor. Does that make sense this morning? Or do I need to give some example to clarify what I'm trying to say? I'll give you an example here. If I'm in a church service, or if I'm in a Bible study, or if I'm in a prayer meeting, or if I'm reading the Word, or whatever it is, right? One of these, any of these things related about the Lord, is it time for me to check my Facebook feed? It wouldn't be, right? Right? I think there's a lot of holy people here. You don't know what I'm talking about. You don't use Facebook. You don't use any of that thing. You know, is it maybe perhaps this will make a bit more sense if you don't use any of these social media, which is fine. But is it time for me to check, okay, who's been texting me? Oh, let me catch. Let me see quickly. Who is this person saying? All these notifications that are coming through the phone messages. And you see, in times like this, it's not the time for this. Is it wrong to check our messages? Absolutely not. But when we are in the house of the Lord, should we do those things? No, because if we do, what we're really doing is we're treating God common. But we are to hallow. We are to honor. He is holy. We cannot treat him as if he's just like anyone else. He is God. And I think that's, we got to get back to that, you know, sense of reverence when we are in the house of the Lord. Okay, when I'm coming here to worship the Lord, I'm not just coming here for, I'm just going to sing some songs. I mean, you can go back and you can sing songs, Christian songs, non-Christian, you can do anything. But here you come, you know, is it time for me to just sit, do whatever, just do exactly how I would carry myself, whether I was in a, I got to be careful because I don't want you to get the impression that I'm saying when you're here, everybody, you got to look so holy and all that. Of course, that's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is that we have to give God the reverence and the place that he deserves. And we cannot and we are not to, as close as he is, as friend as he is, as merciful as he is still God who sits on the throne. Can you say amen? I'm going to read a verse here. And when we read the Bible, when you think about the worship in heaven, what are some of the phrases that you think about? Perhaps songs like we've sang today. Words like what? What do you think about? Okay, I'm giving the answer away here already. But okay, but let me ask you anyway. What do you think about when you read Revelation 4, 5, or any parts of Revelation? There's worship in heaven. What do you think of? What are the words that they are singing? What do you think of? Shout it out. Worthy. Sorry? Holy. Holy, right? Do we not oftentimes sing the words, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come? Do you agree with that? And that is the revelation that God is holy. He is not common. He is God. He is holy. He's clean. He's sacred. He's not to be treated like everything else. He is God. He is holy. And that's what I'm trying to say is like, we can say he's holy, we can talk about how holy he is, but do we treat him as he is holy? Do we have the revelation that he is holy and I'm in the house of the Lord? He's worthy of all praise. And let me go back to Boxing Day here a little bit. Or let me think about, no, not Boxing Day, because I'm not really interested about Boxing Day. Let's talk about this Christmas season. In this Christmas season, we're going to be busy with everything, with a lot of things. Christmas dinners, family reunion. And are these things good? Yeah. Is there anything wrong with that? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that either. Okay? But if that affects my relationship with God, or if this is going to affect my commitment to the Lord, whether it's on a Sunday or any other day of the week, if that affects me, then I am not treating God holy. Does that make sense? Is it okay to have dinner? Yeah, sure. Is it okay to have fun? Fine. But when we say hallow the Lord, you shall hallow, you know, you will honor him. And the reason you would be here today and not be on Boxing Day. Well, maybe because you know it's the right thing to do, perhaps. But, you know, but you could say, you know, this is the only sale of the year where you can really get good. Well, maybe not really the only, but, you know, this is really a chance. You know, I can skip church a little bit here. I'll leave early or come in late or something. We cannot do that, all right? And but it goes with everything else. And that's the reason why one of the messages we talked about earlier before in this Christmas season, we said what? We got to stay in tune in this Christmas season. All right? Because if we allow those things to push us back in front, then are we really giving God the honor and the glory? So praise God that you're here. Say glory to God. Amen. All right. Let's read the prayer really quickly here. Matthew 6, verse 8 to 10. It says, therefore, do not be... it's talking about Jesus. Sorry, I'm going to read from verse 9. It says, Jesus taught them how to pray. He says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In other words, holy is your name. The name of Jesus is not like any other names. The name is holy. It is separate, distinct, the best, the greatest of all names. And there's a reason why the Lord God exalted him far above heavens, that every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He has received the greatest of all names. Can you say amen? So it's not a common name. It's the reason why we don't take the name of the Lord in vain. It is holy. God is holy. Let me take you to the second point. Are you following with me so far? Yeah? I know for like children, for example. I have to give examples so you can really understand. I'm trying to make it feel practical here. Because otherwise we say, hallowed the name of God and hallowed by him. But we don't know in practice what it might look like. And I'm just trying to stir that a little bit here this morning. Because like we said, we want to finish strong. Because God is building something. And we want to come together as his house that he's building. But here, let me give you that final example as we go to the next one here. Let's say we've got a Bible meeting or prayer meeting, you know. Is it time to play video games just before we start? Get everything, scram everything in, try and finish as much until, okay, prayer meeting, okay, go. Okay. No, and if we start doing that, those kind of things, and I'm using games or anything, it could be anything, doesn't have to be games. I'm just using that just so the children can understand. You know, again, what are we doing? We're not hallowing the Lord, all right? We've got to prepare our hearts to meet the Lord, amen? Let me go to the next one here, point number two. Fear the Lord. Let me go back to Isaiah chapter 8 here. I thought I have it there, but it's in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 13 to 14, right? Let me read it again. It says, the Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow. Him, let him be your fear. Let him be your dread. Okay? And the fear of the Lord. This is what I want to talk about here. In Genesis chapter 28, let me go quickly through that story, and I will read it, and you're going to help me read it, but I want to make a point out of this, and we have talked about this in the past. But in Genesis chapter 28, we have Jacob. Jacob is going to a certain place, but he didn't know that God was in this place, and then he realized that God was there. Let me read now from verse 1. Okay, together, 1, 2, 3. Now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran. So he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head. And he lay down in that place to sleep. Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and God of Isaac, the land on which you lie. I will give to you and your descendants. It's the blessing, right? Yesterday we talked about that. Verse 14, also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, and in you and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken to you. Now, this is the part where I want you to pay a bit more attention. Are you ready? And read it with me this time for real. Okay, I let you go earlier. You didn't really read it with me. But this time, I want you to read it with me because I've got some words there in bold I want you to really pay attention to. Verse 16. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Then Jacob rose early in the morning, took the stone that he had put at his head, set it up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city had been Luz previously. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I surely will give you a tenth to you. All right? And the bit that I really want you to, I want you to pick up a few words here. The first one is the fact that he said, this is, he says he was afraid. He says, this is an awesome place. So can you see that there's the fear, there's a sense of reverence that, hey, I thought it was just like an ordinary place. But he says, suddenly he had the fear and realized that the Lord God Almighty is right here in this place. Can you see this? From, it's just a certain place. It's just another place to, hey, it's the house of God. And what I'm saying is that how often can we treat the house of God as just a certain place? Just one of the many places that's on our schedule to attend and to go. We've got to go shopping and we've got this meeting, we've got work. Church is just one among the many things we have to do. It's just another one of them, but it's not. And that's what I'm trying to say this morning. It's not just another one. This is the house of God. I didn't know it, he said, but this is an awesome place. And you follow with what I'm saying here. In verse 20, I'm going to read that again in chapter 28, verse 17. I'm going to read the King James Version instead. He says, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? How awesome, how dreadful, how, wow, this is, do you understand that this is talking about a fear of reverence, of awe? Dreadful. That will help us understand the fear of the Lord. And that's the reason why it says, the Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow, him you shall fear, and in he shall be your dread. And that's what we're talking about here. There's got to be a fear of God. What does the fear of the Lord look like? Of course, that's a message in itself. But let me give you one aspect of it today. Just one thing, all right? In Proverbs 8, verse 13, it says this. The fear, and read it with me. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. The fear of the Lord is to hate what God hates. Can you say amen? It is to have a love for holiness, for that which is righteous, for that which is godly. That is part of what the fear of the Lord is. So the first one is hallow the Lord. He is holy. He's not to be treated as a common thing. Second, we talk about fear the Lord. We shall fear the Lord, the fear of the Lord. And the third thing I want to talk about here is obey the Lord. Let me go back to that verse here in Isaiah 8, verse 13 to 14. I'm going to read it again, and you will understand why I talk about the obedience of the Lord here in this place. Okay? Verse 13, the Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow, let him be your fear, let him be your dread. So we've covered the first two things. Now verse 14, he will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now here's the revelation of God, Jesus, as number one, said with me, a stone of stumbling, and number two, a rock of offense. Now, that's very important because how we respond to the stone or to that rock will determine whether we stumble or whether we fall or we are crushed or whether we're being built. What do we mean by that? Obey the Lord. Okay, what about this stone of stumbling and the rock of offense? Let me read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. It says, therefore, it is also contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. So who is the chief cornerstone? Jesus. He who believes in him, will he be put to shame? No. Therefore, you who believe, he is what? He's precious. But to those who are disobedient. Now I want you to pay attention here because believing and disobedience are being put together. So you can conclude that to not believe is also disobedience, all right? And it also means that believing will lead us to obedience. The stone, first continuing on verse 7, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Jesus is the chief cornerstone and a what? A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble. Why do they stumble? Being disobedient. All right. Being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. Can you understand what I'm saying? So why do we stumble over that rock, over Jesus? Because if we are disobedient to the word to which we are appointed. Let me read Romans chapter 9, verse 30 to 33. What does it say in verse 30? What shall we say then? That Gentiles did not pursue righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained the law of righteousness. Why? Verse 32. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. So why did they stumble at the stumbling stone? Because they didn't seek it by faith. Believing. Faith is the thing, right? But unbelief is why they stumble. Unbelief led to disobedience. Can you understand what I'm saying with that? So here we go. So where did we go? For verse 33. Verse 32 again. Why? Because they didn't seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. So when we read those verses, which is the foundational scriptures of what we looked at today in Isaiah chapter 8, perhaps I should read it one more time, sort of bring it all together. In verse 13, it says, the Lord of hosts, him you shall hallow, sanctify, holy, not treat as common. Let him be your fear, let him be your dread. Do we fear the Lord? Are we conscious that he is here? Are we conscious that he is in the house? And the reason why we're here is because he is here. He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Wow. But he is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to those who do not believe and to those who are disobedient to the word which has been appointed. And of course, in the scriptures here, it's talking in the context of the Jewish people refusing Jesus. But how does that apply to you and I if we would disobey or not walk by faith? So let me conclude here. As I conclude with these final words, I hope that we understand what I'm trying to say here about him we shall hallow. So the question is, do we hallow the Lord? Do we treat him holy? Or do we just sing that he is holy? But do we treat him as holy, as sacred, as God, the Almighty, the King of Kings? Or just like someone else of many others? Why do we fall short of this? Why do we sometimes seem to fall short to give God that place of honor, reverence, sacredness, priority? Is it perhaps, and I'm just going to give some question here for you and I to ponder on, is it because we are self-conscious instead of God-conscious? Are we always thinking about myself, what I can gain, what deals I can acquire today? Because that deal is not going to appear, so that's more important. Is it we fall short of giving God that place of reverence because perhaps we're lusting over the things of the world? We are wanting a bit of God, but we are wanting many things of the world. We are pulled and attracted by how they talk and how they hang out or how they dress, the lingo or whatever, their entertainment. Are we drawn by those things, by the possessions of the world? Next one here. Is it perhaps we fall short of this because we have faith as a head knowledge rather than a heart thing? Is it perhaps that we don't give God that place of reverence and honor because faith is more of a head knowledge rather than from the spirit and from the heart? Do we fall short from giving God that place of reverence because perhaps we talk about faith but without obedience? Meaning, we believe we are to have faith, but we do not obey when God actually speaks to us. We do not take action on what is God saying to us. And remember, the blessing that came to Abraham was because not only because he believed, but because he also obeyed the voice of the Lord. Faith really is to lead us to a place of obedience. And the last one, perhaps we fall short of that, is it because, like we started, like I said, self-conscious, is perhaps the self-life. The self is more important. What I can get in this world is more important. My studies are more important than God. My job is more important than God. Perhaps my friends are more important than my God. And maybe my family is more important than God. Now, please don't look at me funny. I'm not saying our families are not important. But it's hard to understand what Jesus would have said, right? When he said, if you love father and mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. Did he ask us to not like our parents and not to honor them or not to honor our relatives? Absolutely not. But he said, if you don't honor me before them, you're not worthy of me. So I'm not asking you to do some funny things, right? But I am saying, all right, are those things more important than God? Is perhaps a family dinner more important than the things of God? And that's where I was, how I started. I said, if those good things that we do, even as Christians, there's nothing wrong with those, but if that is taking me away, it's going to make me late, or it's going to make me not fulfill my commitment, then perhaps something is standing in the way. And as a result of those things, how can we say and stand before God, Lord, you are holy? Well, he is holy whether we treat him as holy. God is always going to be holy. But do we treat him? Do we hallow him? As the scripture says, him you shall hallow. All right, a little bit solemn here this morning, but let me end it on a good note. I felt really convicted. I had to review this myself, all right? I'm not just preaching to you, but I really felt like for myself, I really have to consider seriously, you know, do I treat it as holy or just a common thing? But let me end on this note. To those who do not believe and to those who are disobedient, Jesus is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. But to those who believe and to those who are obedient, they shall receive blessing. To them, the Lord is precious, and Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and he is building his church. You and I as living stone, as we believe in him, he is building his church. He is the chief cornerstone, and together we're building this holy habitation for the Lord. Can you say amen? We conclude this year saying this. God is building his church. God is the chief cornerstone, and he is establishing his church here on the earth. I believe that as we go into 2022 now, and we talk about next Sunday, when we talk, I'm going to talk about potentially something here, is the fact that God is not only building his house, but he's going to speak from the house. And what I'm saying is, if he's going to speak from the house, all right, then the house must be set in order. Then him we shall hallow, him we shall fear, he shall be our dread, all right? Because he's building his church. But to those who do not do that, you find that they becomes a stumbling block. You stumble over it. So my prayer this morning, and to encourage us, is to that we got to give God that place all the more in this season, all right? And maybe let us consider that when we come here or any church-related things, how do we treat it? Is it common? Shall we stand to our feet? I want to give an opportunity here. I want to end this morning. I want to end it this way, and I want to give everybody an opportunity here to just respond to the Lord, because I believe it is an important message, and I think we have to take it seriously, even though it's a little bit on the solemn side, because God is doing something great, and I'm excited for what God is doing, and the greater things that are ahead of us. But I feel like if we miss that, though, then, you know, we're not really moving in that place. And if God is building His church, then we have to allow Him to build us this morning. Amen? So as much as this is challenging for you to hear what I've shared, it has as much weight on me just as perhaps it may have on you. So I want to give everybody a chance to respond this morning. You know, if you really feel that this is, this is speaking to you, and you feel like you need to respond. And again, I'm not here to check who is responding or not. This is you and God, okay? And like we always say to people, this is God, okay? I wanna give you an opportunity. Just if you feel convicted by this morning, you raise your hand to the Lord and say, Lord, you just raise your hand to the Lord and commit yourself to the Lord. And we're gonna pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, we want to say we're sorry for the many times we have treated you just as a common thing, just as an ordinary thing amongst many other things that we have to do on a daily basis. Lord, I pray that you would forgive us. We ask you for your cleansing blood to cleanse us from deep within. Wash us, Lord, and bring us back on course, so that the choices that we make in life, not just in Christmas season, but in this journey of life where we're going to be faced with so many temptations and being pulled right, left, and everywhere by the influence of maybe our friends, our colleagues, our families, or people around about us, neighbors, whatever it is. Lord, God, we want to stay on course. We want to give you that place of honor and that place of reverence. Help us, dear Holy Spirit, even as we commit ourselves, Lord, we have no power in ourselves to fulfill this, but we ask you, Holy Spirit, to work mightily in us. Do this mighty work, Lord. We just say yes to your word, yes to your word, yes to your word. Amen, God. We say, by the Holy Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body, the deeds of the flesh that's running everywhere for everything. But Lord God, I pray that this morning you would be our treasure. Be our treasure, Lord. You are our treasure. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. I'd like to conclude with this song, Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.